For today, I would like to discuss some in Yonei Haggadah, Haggadah Shel Pesach. What I would like to do today is a short review of a new Haggadah that was published this year by Art Scroll. Art Scroll published two new Haggadahs this year. Only two. They don't usually publish more than two. The Haggadah in English. They publish Hebrew Haggadahs also. Rav David Cohen, they publish a number of Hebrew things as well. But the Haggadah that one of the two new Haggadahs is the Rav Chaim Kanievsky Haggadah. Now this Haggadah, when I saw the Haggadah, I right away assumed it's just a translation of what. Oh, that's what this really is. That's what I want to explain. What's interesting about this Haggadah? There's a Haggadah, I have one very early edition called Siach Pesach. Siach Pesach, he has his grandchildren and Talmidim that collected his ideas from his other Sfarim and questions that he answered, and they put out a very nice Haggadah called Siach Pesach. I have an early edition, it's a very thin sefer, and I assume that this is just a translation. However, since the publishing of the first Siach Pesach, new editions have come out every year, and already it's quite substantial. The Hebrew edition is a nice, thick, substantial Haggadah with many chidushim. This Haggadah, they write in the Haggadah, and as you go, as I went through, jumped around about half of the Haggadah, is not really a translation of Siach Pesach. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, as you know, is the son of the Stipler, and his wife was a celebrity in her own right, Rebbetzin Basheva Kanievsky. She was nifter a couple of years ago, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky is the son-in-law of Rabbi Yashiv, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and is also a nephew or grandnephew of the Chazon Ish. So what his grandson, and he's also a mechutin with, I'm not exactly sure how, with Rav Steinman.
And she was the anicle of Aryeh Levin.
Of Aryeh Levin, right. So all of those things together, so Rav Chaim Kanievsky's grandson has basically taken all of these things, he's not an American, and in Hebrew has put together a new collection that was miyuchid to be translated and to produce this Haggadah, which basically means a very nice part of this Haggadah are stories from Rebbetzin Basheva Kanievsky. There are a lot of stories. See, like the article published a book about her, a thick book. They have a lot of very interesting stories relating to Pesach and the Haggadah and the Seder that come from her. And there's some things from the Chazon Ish, there are things from the Stipler, and there are many chidushim from Rav Steinman, the grandfather of the person who put this together, and of course Rav Chaim Kanievsky, all of his menhagim, and some of his best stuff. So it's a very, very unique blend of the family, of all the interactions between the family of Rav Chaim Kanievsky and his menhagim. So I want to just run through a couple of things which caught my attention, grabbed my attention. Some of it was in Hagin, and some ideas which I was inspired to think of as I saw a question that he asked. Okay, we'll try to go very quick. The first thing I just found to be amazing, it seems like Rav Chaim Kanievsky is famous for this, every single year Rav Chaim Kanievsky makes a siyum on Bavli and Yerushalmi and Kol Torah Kula. When does he make the siyum? He makes the siyum Erev Pesach. How many people do you know are able to make a siyum on Kol HaTorah Kula every single year Erev Pesach? In shul, in his shul, I think it was the Letterman shul, he makes a siyum on Talmud Bavli, and then when he goes home to his family, he makes another siyum on Talmud Yerushalmi. His minhag, he writes over here that the Ka'ara, when he set the Ka'ara in his house, from the Chazon Ish, no hakpah to how to put down the items on the Ka'ara. Today, many people, when they come to the Seder, they get all worked up, exactly how to put what type of Ka'ara, where to put the egg, where to put the Zroya. There's no such thing. According to the Halacha, the only thing is on the plate, you should put down all of the items. You have the Beitza, and the Zroya, Keneged the Chagiga, and the Karban Pesach, and you have the Mor, and the Charoises, and the Karpas. There's no Hakpah to where to put each thing. There's no Sedura, Arizal, without into Yonei Kabbalah. Just put these things down on the Ka'ara. It was good enough for the Chazon Ish, it should be good enough for us. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Haggadah, the saying of the Haggadah, from the time they start the Manish Tana until they get up to Motzi Matzah, guess how long it takes?
Half an hour.
His bedikas chametz takes over 3 hours. I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago that Rabbi Yosh takes 10 minutes, but the Haggadah, saying the Haggadah, only takes by him a half an hour. He's makbir to finish all four kosos before chatzos. Not like many people today that only makbir to at least eat the afikoymen. Leaving the afikoymen, many people not makbir, but he even ate the fourth kos. He already drank before chatzos, and after chatzos, it came after he ate, after they finished the fourth kos, he would tell his family, Rabbi Yisai, if you're tired, please go to sleep, the Seder is over. If you want to say all the piyutim, you're not mechuyif to say the piyutim. If you're tired, you can go to sleep. It's very, very normal, very down to earth. Didn't have very long siddur. Wine, Rav Chaim Kanievsky only drank real wine, only drinks, that's what it says, the first cup and the fourth cup. It's very chiddush. If you only can prioritize how much kosos can you do, drink yayin, first and fourth. The second and third, he diluted. It was part wine and part grape juice. It was too hard for him to drink pure.
Part wine, part water.
He used the index finger. Many of us use the for the makos. He used the index finger. He says that in his home, they used to give the leftover wine to the guy. It was a minig. What?
He didn't want to give him too much.
They used to give the part of the wine which fell out, the minig was to give to the guy. He makbe, we mentioned this last week, he took his zesim for moitzi matzah, because the suffix, do you make the bracha on the top matzah or on the prusa? To kizesim, very interesting that for chayroses, for maror, he eats horseradish, which is a very controversial thing. Many, I heard of Shevra Herschel Schachter. Herschel Schachter is very, very against horseradish. He goes to all the makaros and he says there's no such thing as being horseradish. Rav Chaim Kanievsky's minig is to eat horseradish. He's of the opinion that chosa, lettuce, remain lettuce, is only good if you can actually taste the bitterness now. All the Gedolei Yisrael seem to disagree, and they hold that chosa, lettuce, is fine. Adarab, that's the ikar. That's the first item mentioned in the Gemara. That's the ikar. And even though most of our lettuce is not bitter, since in the future, if you would let the lettuce sit in the ground longer, it would become bitter. That's already called bitter. He obviously, his messer is not to do so. He ate only, he ate horseradish. Very, it's very big chiddush. Because horseradish appears not, is a new, more modern type of mara, which was introduced at a later point in history when chasa was not available. But that is a tradition. When do you say Zecher L'Migdash Kehillel? We didn't discuss this. Zecher L'Migdash Kehillel, there's a very controversy. Do you say it before you eat the Karech or do you eat it after? So some hold that you should say it after. You should first eat Karech because it's a Hefsek. When you make the bracha of Al Achilas Mara and Al Achilas Matzah, that also goes on the Karech, the Matzah and Marbi Yachad. So you should not be Mavsek. You should wait until after you finish saying eating korech, then you say zeicher lebigdash kilo.
He
did not talk in between. It seems not matzah.
Yeah. Says it wasn't meant to be said.
It was just explanation,
instructions.
So, indeed. Now, they mention here in his name that if a person has the custom to say zeicher lebigdash kilo before he eats korech, is it called that he's violating his minhag? A minhag is sacred. This is the minhag in our family. He goes, it's not a minhag. There's no such mukhaf. If that's what you want to do, you can do it. That's what most of Klal Yisrael does. But if it bothers you and you don't want to talk between matzah, mar, and karech, and you want to say it afterwards, it's not cool that you're breaking a minhag by saying zeicher lemikdash kehillel if you decide to change your custom and say it after you eat the karech. Okay, he did not sit his seba during Shulchan Aruch. Very interesting. It's a very big shayla. According to many poskim, you mechuyev to do his seba. Part of his seba demands that you do his seba during Shulchan Aruch. It's not his custom. He says that bizman hazeh, we bechlal don't do his seba. We don't feel comfortable doing his seba. Most, the average person, doesn't feel comfortable doing his seba when he drinks the yayin, eats the matzah. So it's enough. You have to do a seber for the yayin because that's what Chazal say. It's enough, dude, for the yayin and for the yayin and for the matzah. You don't have to sit a seber during Shulchan Aruch. During Shulchan Aruch, he ate the beitza. That was on the Ka'ara. He ate the beitza. He dipped it in salt water. And he was makbi that someone should eat the zroya. the Zroya during Yom Tov should not go to waste. Some of these. Now, let me just tell some of his minhagim. Now, let's go through some of the ideas, some interesting, cute ideas. Bedikas Chametz. He was once doing Bedikas Chametz. I don't know how, if he spoke during Bedikas Chametz, and his children were assisting him, and they went to one of the cabinets, and they pulled out all of the dishes, or all of the items of the cabinet. And they didn't really put it back so neatly. So he told them, Bedikas Chametz is only with the Rabbana. But the Tsar, your mother will have, when she comes back and sees everything is not in its right place and you just took it out and took it back, that's the Oraisa. So when you do a Bedikas Chametz, make sure you put things back where you found them, because that's a Oraisa, and the Bedikas is only a Din and a Rabbana, a Musavat. Okay, then he has a very nice Vard from Koheles. In Koheles, we say, they should use this, it'll be a little bit easier. In Koheles, we have the 24 Itim. Ace Livkois, the Ace Liskoik, Ace Lachavoik, the Ace Lirkoik Mechabek, Ace Livakesh, the Ace Labet. So we explain these three. Ace Livkois refers to Tisha B'Av. If you cry on Tisha B'Av, you'll be Zoicha, Kol, Hamasab, Al-Chum, Yushlaim, Zoicha, Veroya, Bissim Chasa. So the two go together. Ace Livkois. If you fulfill Ace Livkois on Tisha B'Av, you'll be Zoicha to Ace Liskoik, to the Simcha of the Churban Yerushalayim. Ace Lachavoik, when you come to Beis HaKnesses and they take out the Sefer Torah, if you embrace the Sefer Torah by kissing the Sefer Torah, it will remind you, Eis l'chok mechabek. Don't kiss your grandchildren when they come to shul. You're not allowed to kiss a child in the Beis HaKnesses b'shas tefillah. It's aser. So why? Because the only chiba l'chabek is only the Sefer Torah. Then he concludes, Eis l'vakesh, bedikas chametz is the time l'vakesh, to seek out the chametz. And that's why it's Eitz La'abet. And after you finish doing the bedikah, then you say, Kol chamir v'chamir, it's time La'abet to declare the ibud. You have to destroy and burn the chametz the next day. Okay, let's jump ahead. This is all the part that I did not go through. Karban Pesach. Okay, let's go to the Seder. Kaddish. He has a very interesting minog. His minog is the first kais, the Zechumrah. He holds Alpi Halacha, the first kais, how much do you drink? A revius. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is makbet to drink a double revius. Why? Because until you, even though he had a very short seder, until you get to Motzi Matzah, you mafsik. With all of the entertainment that's being provided by your family and the Haggadah, it's a hefsik. It's not Kiddush B'Mokim Suda. In order that it should be Kiddush B'Mokim Suda with no shilas whatsoever, you should drink a double revius. This was his hakpada. Very interesting kiddush lahalacha. A double revius for the first kais. Now he says here, beautiful yisoid, very beautiful kiddush. This is the avah and halacha, when it comes to liquids, there are times when the requirement is a revius. For example, Friday night, derech klal, when you drink yain, you have to drink a revius. But al pi halacha, there are times when drinking, you're only yechayef for drinking even a kezayis. Specifically when it comes to truma. Okay, the prohibition for a Yisrael, a Chol is chayiv for eating truma, if he drinks a kezayis of yayin, that is truma. Mi'ila, there are many halachas in Shulchan Aruch where drinking prohibited things, the shir is not a revius. It's a kezayis. Kezayis, to drink, even though it's a liquid and you consume it through liquids, yayin, wine, yayin of truma, or yayin kodesh, if you drink even a kezayis worth of that yayin, you already chayiv the full-fledged violation of the law. But when it comes to kiddush, when it comes to da'alei kaisais, Chazal required a person to drink a revius. What's the pshat? So he explains, because a revius gives satisfaction. A kezayis is a shir choshev. When it comes to violating halachas, many times Torah just did not want you to be toying, did not want you to eat a certain amount of prohibited food. Torah is not concerned with your enjoyment. But there are other halachas with the Chazal are concerned with your enjoyment. You should have pleasure. So he says, we have here Dalet Kaisis, quite a lot, 4 cups of wine. The 4 cups of wine correspond to the Yotzesi, the Yitzalti, the Igualti, the Lokachti. Theoretically speaking, it would be enough if a person just drank the equivalent of a kezayis. A kezayis is a half of a revius. It's approximately half of a revius. That would be sufficient. But it's not what Chazal said. Chazal required a person to drink a revius, a roi revius, to drink a revius. Why? Because built into commemorating the Otseisi, the Itzalti, the Gualti, the Lekachti, Chazal wanted you to have pleasure. drinking the larger share of revius automatically means I have satisfaction, pleasure. Person has to keep in mind the stay there is an enjoyable experience. It's not meant to be a burden. Okay, we have no choice. We have to drink four kaisas. We have to eat some matzah. A, B, C, D, finish. That's the wrong attitude. It's built into the halacha a revius, which is double of the standard shear to impress upon the person that you have to have pleasure from what you when you commemorate Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, they discuss this very quickly, the issue. Why don't we say the bracha she'osa nisim lavoseinu bayomim bohim bazman hazeh? Very simple answer, because this is midaraisa. Only times you make the bracha she'osa nisim are dinim derabanan, Chanukah and Purim. But when the Torah told you to do something, the fact the Torah told you is more important than the fact that it commemorates. It's a very interesting idea. The only reason why we're eating matzah and drinking yayin is a commemoration for the nisim. Doesn't matter. That's secondary. The commemoration that of the nisim which occurred in Mitzrayim is secondary to the tzivu of the Torah. Asher kedoshanu b'mitzrayim tzivanu al achilas matzah, al achilas maror. You drink the dal kaisas. You don't. Well, dal kaisas is the rabbanan, but achilas matzah. We don't say al hanisim because the Torah gave us a way to remember, and that is primary. We don't have to. We don't have to come up with new reasons. Now, this is something very interesting. Noshim. Do the Noshim do Hasebos? So it's machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber says no. Noshim do not do Hasebos. The Ramah says, Noshididon. We discussed last week. Noshididon, our Noshim, they're Chashuvim, and Mamela, they do Hasebos. We discussed this. If a woman doesn't want to do Hasebos, in the home of Chaim Kanievsky, the women all do Hasebos. That's the custom. Every woman does Hasebos. So we have Chaim, he says, you know, what's Pshat? The Ramah, the Mechaber and the Ramah. He says it becomes because the Ramah lived at the time when Chayim Rabbeinu Gershon, after Chayim Rabbeinu Gershon. Noshim became Choshev because of only let have one wife. The average person, you tell them, why do women do? Because we live in a modern world. We live in a modern world today, feminism. Even if we're not feminists, you have to have respect for women, or so on and so forth. Women's rights. That's how I understand it. It's a modern world. Women are chashev. Women have been chashev the last 400 years. They're chashev. Time of the Ramah, they're chashev. No. He says nothing to do with women, women's lib. You know why women are chashev? Because you're only allowed to have one wife. If we lived in a society today where men would marry more than one wife, women would be chashev. Then there would no be hesseba. The din of women doing hesseba has direct correlation to polygamy. That's what he says. And that's why the Mechaber of Yosef Cairo, there was polygamy. And the Mela, that's why Noshim were not Choshev. They did not do a Seba. So he says the Kaf HaChayim, it was a more modern day. So the Kaf HaChayim, what does he say? The Kaf HaChayim says, do a Seba. Kaf HaChayim is a Sephardi, because the Kaf HaChayim was a modern day when already polygamy was exhausted by them as well. They also don't do a Seba. I'm not exactly sure. But that's a very interesting idea. He was very halach ma'anya. He opened the door for halach ma'anya. It seems that some have the custom of opening the door. Open the door for shvecha moscha. Halach ma'anya. You're inviting all the guests. Anyone out there? Anyone want to come into my home? Kol dichvin yesev yivsach. So it appears that some people have a custom to open the door. He disagreed. He held that it's a mimic toss. You're not supposed to open the door. Kol dichvin means since you know in advance that you're going to say kol dichvin menela in advance, you know that you're supposed to invite guests. It's too late. At the time when you say kolach manya, it's a little bit too late to invite a guest. But because you know that you're going to say in advance, that's when the time to, you don't have to actually open up the door. Okay, this is the beautiful vart.
The origin of it.
The origin of what halach ma'anya was probably b'shas
ma'isa. No.
In shul.
Aren't you talking about opening the door?
He quotes a minog. Some had the custom to open the door before you recite halach ma'anya. And he rejects this minhag. He says there's no such minhag. You open the door for shvecha moscha. You don't open the door for halach ma'anya.
So why do we open shvecha moscha?
Oh, that many reasons. There's 100 reasons for that.
Blood libels.
That's the most basic. Then the Yoni Kabbalah. We discussed last week some of those reasons. This is a very cute idea. Chaya Adam says, listen to this. Don't fall off your chair. that you're not allowed to eat potatoes on Pesach. It's the chayo.
Yeah.
It's kidneys.
Right.
It's kidneys. Shav Steinman. Okay, this is the grandfather, the person who put together this safe. I'm skipping all the good juicy stories from his from the Rebbetzin, but you have to read it yourself. But he writes in the name of his grandfather that in Europe, they said, we're in Lithuania, where Rav Steinman came from. He said there was a saying that we always paskin like the Chayi Adam, except to when it's a stira to the Chayi Adam. So what does that mean? If we can't eat potatoes, we're gonna die. It's the life of man depends on potatoes. In Lithuania, they had nothing but potatoes. So if we're going to accept the psak of the Chayi Adam, that you're not allowed to eat a potato on Pesach because it's kidneys, then we're going to starve. So the rule of thumb is, we always accept the psak halacha of the Chayi Adam, except when it's a stira to the Chayi Adam.
Does anyone hold the meaning of not eating?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
not eat potatoes? You've heard of such people? I remember someone told me when I was in high school, 100 years ago, that his father doesn't eat potatoes. His father eats nothing. He eats vegetables. All he eats the whole Pesach. Matzah and chocolate. So there's no potatoes and chocolate? They don't add some derivative of kidneys and chocolate? I don't know. You tell me his father eats matzah, vegetables, and chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate is
kidneys. And the cakes with potatoes?
I don't know. Don't ask me. It's a very cute vart. Halacha like the Chayi Adam, except when it's a stira to the Chayi Adam. Gevalde gevart. The Haggadah for me was kedaidos for that. Okay, the Manishtana. He just says what the state of the Manishtana, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, we go in order of Deraisa, Drabanan, Minok. Deraisa is matzah. That's the first question. The second is Mor, which is quasi Deraisa. It was Deraisa, Bizman, Shabes, Hamil, Shayakayam, but Bizman Hazeh, it's only Drabanan. Then are the Anumat Bilim, Shafilu, the Tzvila. That's purely a minute. That's purely the Drabanan. Kadesh, Yishalu, Hatinoikos. And then we go to Hasebe, which is even less than, the Hasebe, which is, I guess, the same category. So it's a Deraisa, Deraisa, Semi-Deraisa, and then Drabon, that's the Seder of the Tfilah. Now, he asked a very simple question. What?
Depends on what the Meneg is for Tfilah.
For the
Matbilin.
What do you mean?
If it's because of
Kadesh, Tomos, so it's Deraisa?
It's not Deraisa, but it would be like a
Drabonon. Okay, so Nechanami, it's a Drabonon. Nechanami, so it follows after Mor. First is Matzah. Matzah is pure Deraisa. Mor is semi-Deraisa. Right. And then are the Dinim Drabonon. That's the Seder. Now, he asked a very good question. Why do we say, Shebechol Halelois Ein Onu Mat Bilin Afilu Pa'am Echos? That's not true. Every Friday night, you dip the challah in salt. You're always, you're mechuyif. That's the halacha. You're supposed to dip, not supposed to pour the salt. Some people make a mistake, they pour salt on the challah. You're supposed to dip. So he says, Rav Chaim says that tibul in halacha means in liquid. It's a translation of word. A precise translation of tibul is liquid, not in a solid. Salt is a solid, so we are not in violation of...
Which means that the halacha should be sort of soft.
Soft, it should be liquidy. It should be liquidy moisture. So that's just a translation of the word matzbilin. Rav Chaim's minig is, before he began avodim hayinu, he added three more words. The tenets is.
Yeah.
This is his. These are hidden, invisible words of the Haggadah. Doesn't say the Haggadah the words. There's an exact count. 1,000. How many words are there in the Haggadah? 1,820, I believe. The same number of times Hashem's name appears in Tanakh. Yeah. I did that. We always told you this. I think in Tanakh, Hashem's name Yudke Vavke appears in Tanakh exactly 1,820. If I'm not mistaken, and there are exactly 1,820 words in the Seder from beginning to end. So these three words do not appear in the Haggadah. They are invisible words, and he's very makbid to tell the children or the people of the Haggadah. The answer is. The teretz is avodim hayinu lefaro. From Little Minhagim, you learn some very interesting insights. Okay, now this is a very good question. I don't have a good answer. It's a very good question. What?
You say kula matzah.
The gears is you have to wait at the
different.
Kula is in parentheses.
You say kula matzah.
Yeah, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. If you add a word here, you got to take out a word over there. There are different gear sites. And this
Kiddush, regular Kiddush, I think it's supposed to be 42 words.
70 words, 35, Yishmol, Esav. Okay, this is a very good question. I don't understand the answer, but the question is a fantastic question. Rabbi Seinu Higiyaz Man Kriyash Mashal Shachas. They were Misapim Cholos HaLayla. Ad Shabo Lohem Talmidein V'yamu Lohem Rabbi Seinu Higiyaz Man Kriyash Mashal Shachas. When is Man Kriyash Mashal Shachas? Alisa Shachar. Analisa Shachar. I'm sorry. Kriyash Mashal Shachas is Mishayakir. It's already come out when the sun, when it's light. When is this man of Sibir Yitzias Mitzrayim? It's only Laila. The Chiv, even according to Elizabeth Azariah, that holds he can say the entire night, it's only Zman Laila. It's only till Alois HaShachar. In Chutz Liaretz, the difference between Alois HaShachar and Kriyashma is almost 72 minutes. So what's going on over here? The Ming Masar, the Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kolos HaLaila, the Ming Mekayim, the Mitzvah, and the Talmidim come, they say, Rabbi Sein, who Higiyaz Man Kriyashma, Shal Shachris.
They didn't know they were in a room. How could they know?
So, Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, there seems to be from the Haggadah that it's a cutoff point, that the end of the Zman of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim is the beginning of Zman Kriyash Mashal Shachas. They don't overlap. But there's a space in between, a time of 72 in between. In between. So there will be marbi, so that there being marbi be tzias mitzrayim. There's a question mechlal. Did this event, this story, take place the night of the seder, or did it take place not the night of the seder? If you want to learn that it took place the night of the seder, the simple understanding is that the entire time that they're talking is during the laila when they're being mekayim the mitzvah. But that's not necessarily so. There is a period of time in between the end of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the laila, and the Zman Kriyashma. So that just should be added to the equation to make sense of this mice. So it's just nachir aura, just nothing more than aura to take note of that idea.
But you can't know the end of time.
You can know the end of time. Not necessarily. There are people. Everyone has an internal clock. We all know that you wake up. You wake up. Person has an internal clock, and there are people that have the ability to tell you what time it is, even though they have no watch. They're in a prison. There is such a thing to knowing, having a sense of time. Okay, there's a quick, short vart. He says that there's a Musar vart that Ben Zoma said, "Kol Harani Kaven Shimshon of Lezachis Shetama Yitzias Mitzrayim Ad Shadarsha Ben Zoma." He points out that a person can be a Baal Meifes. Kaven Shimshana. I'm Amish about. I have white hair. Miracles have happened to me, but it's a greater miracle for someone to listen to you. You can be the biggest Baal Meifes. You can pull off the biggest stunt, but if your wife will listen to you, that's on a much higher madrek. And you see that from Ben Zoma. Okay, now he asked a question. The question, the gevaldic question, I want to say my own, I want to tell you two chidushim in response to this question. The question he asked is, why do we begin Keneged Arbo Bonim Dibre Torah, Echad Chacham Yechad Rasha, and they, the four children asked the questions. We already asked the question, and we already gave the answer. We asked the four questions were asked. Man ishtan halayl hazeh, and we gave the answer. Avod min lefaro. We told them about the ma'isa, Rabbi Akiva b'nei Barak, and we told them about Ben Zoma sheidar loizocher sheitamer yitzias mishayim b'layl achdorsh Ben Zoma. So we're finished. We asked the questions and we gave the answers. All of a sudden, no, we got four more questions. Not really four, three more. We have the Rosh's question, the Chacham's question, the Tam's question, and the question that was not asked by the Sheni of the Elisha. Wait a minute. You're a little late on the scene. We already took care of this. So he really explains as they go deeper. His approach pretty appears to be that we start out by asking questions and we give an answer. And every answer provokes follow-up questions. So he basically says that the Arba Bonim is a follow-up to the original question asked in the beginning of the Haggadah and the answer. That's a very interesting yisur. But based upon this, I want to suggest the following two chidushim. Number one, we have four Bonim. Which Ben is not at the Haggadah? everyone the tzaddik. It's not a kasha. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta. There's no such thing as a tzaddik. Oh, you'll tell me the ameich kulam tzaddikim? Okay, it's a good question. But where's the tzaddik? Let's put the tzaddik out. But there is another question. There is another type of child. Who's that other type of child? The novoin. Paro said about Yosef, a novoin v'chacham kamocha. Hashem told Moshe, or Yisro said to Moshe, Havu lechem anoshim chachamim unevonim. Novoin is mevin dover mitoch dover. So I want to suggest is that that's the manashtana. The manashtana is the ben novoin. What is a novoin? Mevin dover mitoch dover. What is the novoin doing in the four questions? Manishtana, halayla hazeh, only matzah. But the whole year, chametzu matzah. All the other years, we only dip once, so we don't dip at all. And tonight, we dip twice. All the years, there's no haseba. All the nights, he's novoin. He's comparing. The inyan to compare one to the other is the essence of a novoin. There are five questions. The Torah only spoke kineged the arbah banim. But the Arba Banim are not the ideal. The ideal child to have is the child who is a novoin, not just a chacham. You don't just want to be the chacham from the manshtah. You want to be a novoin to be mevin dava mitoch dava. That's the first child of the Seder. There are really five children at the Seder. The first child is the novoin. He's mevin dava mitoch dava. We answer him. We tell him, Avodim Hayinu, you have to elaborate. Okay, I'll leave this to you to elaborate, to understand the three things that we tell him. We tell Avodim Hayinu, we tell him about the Maisa in Bnei Brak, and we tell him about Ben Zoma. Those three answers is the answer to the Novoi. Now, by the way, there are more children who are at the Seder. There's a Chacham, a Rosh, a Tam, and Shnei Elishol. Kineged those four banim, the Torah told us what to do. Chazal told us how to answer the Novoin, and the Torah told us how to answer the Arba banim.
So who's asking the more complicated, more complex question?
The Novoin. All of the four questions, all four. What? No, I'm telling you, it's a new approach, a different answer. Okay. I want to just, because the four questions all involve the need of Novoin. The Maven Dover.
Do you remember from year to year?
You remind me of the question of why the illustrator made a new Haggadah every year.
Right.
And his answer was, because the Rasha that I illustrated last year, the Scott New Hadoiris, this year they already hold him to be a tzaddik. I have to make a new Haggadah for this year, a new illustrate. Novoin and then the Dalet Banim. That's one chid, one yisayid. Another suggestion I want to make is the follow up. Let's go with the yisayid of Chaim. The follow up questions. What's the follow up? There are three questions that are asked by the Chacham, the Rasha, and the She'ena and the Tam. The She'ena Yedei Lishol doesn't ask. He doesn't ask. How have we responded to the Manishtana? With three answers. Avadim Hayinu, that's number one. The second was the Maisa in Bnei Brak. And the third was Ben Zoma. Avadim Hayinu is the response to the Chacham. The Chacham, he relates to Avod. It's an intellectual approach to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Avod Leinu Lefaro, Hashem took us out, and therefore we have an obligation to serve Hashem by performing the mitzvahs. And now the Chacham follows up. Interesting. Tell me more. Mo'edus Hachugim V'Amishpatim Asher Siv Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. The Chacham relates directly to the intellectual response of Avod Mayinu. The Rasha, this is very true. If you think about this, the Rasha, he's fascinated by the Maisa. And it's so true. What is the Rasha always coming to make Litzanis? Maisa Gedolim, especially when it relates to Talmud Torah. What's the Maisa? They were sitting in Koilel and learning Torah. That's all the Maisa. Maisa with this all the Tanoim Shayum Sumid Bnei Brak Vayum Sabi Yitzias Shem Kol Oisa Halayla. They weren't doing mitzvahs. They weren't talking. They were not. We're telling him about Gedolei Yisrael sitting and learning. The Rasha doesn't like that. The Rasha doesn't like Maisalach. He doesn't like people that sit and learn. He doesn't like Talmidei Chachamim. The Rasha is very disturbed with the Maisa in Bnei Brak. His focus, his agenda is the second paragraph of Mazos, mo havoid has, what is koilel all about? What are they sitting together in Bnei Brak? The tam relates to Ben Zoma. What's the problem with the tam? He lacks understanding. So he, when he hears about Ben Zoma, a person who's kemat, he's keilu, he's 70 years old, and he still doesn't get it. My whole life, it was sitting in front of me that you should say Kriya Shema Balelos. Lohavi Loizachi Shete Omer Yitzirus Betshimelos Ashadorsha Ben Zoma, Kol Yimechayach Yimechayach Hayam, Kol Yimechayach Halelos. So the Talmud says, look at this. Ben Zoma, he's Ki'ilu, Arlos Ben Azariah, he's Ki'ilu, 70 years old, he's 70 years old, he's a Zokin Mufluk. And every single day his whole life, he read the Pasik, Laman Tizkar, Es Yoim Tzeshom Yerisham, Kol Yimechayach. He didn't chap. He's a tam. The tam looks at Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. If he can be a tam, I can be a tam. He relates to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah because he can't believe how could a person read a pasuk his whole life and doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. So that's why it appeals to him. So what I'm trying to suggest is, when we have the four questions of the Arba Banim, the Arba Banim are presented precisely after we've recited these three paragraphs. We start off with general questions, and the father gives three general answers. An answer of Adem Hayinu, an answer of Amaisa, an answer of Laman Tizkas, Yom Tzeitzchol, Koyim Echayach, Koyim, it took me 70 years to figure this out. 70 years I'm chajing over and over and over until I figure this out. Achadosha ben Zoma. Harini kiben shem shana. And now, now we have the background, now we have the three children. The Chocham is fascinated with the intellectual answer, Avodah Mayinu. The Rasha is fascinated with the Maisa of the Gedolei Yisrael sitting in Koilo. And the Tam is fascinated how a person can read a Pasuk for 70 years and still doesn't understand what it says in the Pasuk. The three directly with it. And then you have a Shein Elishol. Okay, so this is an idea which came to mind after I saw this question. He doesn't need to see a good question in order to wake you up, to come across something interesting. Okay, running out of time here. If there are some other things I want to just tell you a few more quick things before we conclude. Okay, partially I think everyone says, why is the Chacham B'loshen Yachid and the Rasha B'loshen Rabim Ki Yoimru? Unfortunately, there are many more Rishoyim out there than Chachamim. A lot of Rishoyim, and that's why the Rishoyim, the response is Yoimru B'loshen Rabim, and the Chacham is B'loshen Yachid. Okay, this is a beautiful Vart, which he brings down the story between the Chazon Ish and the Stipler. He says the word Haggadah means to tell something new. And the proof it comes from the Chazal, Kevon Shehigid Shuv Einoi Choyzer Umagid. It's a concept in Eidos. Once a person testifies, you can't change your testimony. If you present testimony in court, that's it. You get one chance. You can't go back and change your story tomorrow. But the drush, kevan shehigid, once you tell a person new information, you only can tell a person something new. You only have one chance to make a first impression. Common, right? Common? You only have one chance to make a first impression. Haggadah means, tell me something new. Once I told you something new, it's no longer new. Kevan shehegid shuv ein choizer magid. I can't tell you new. So what do you learn from this concept, this idea? The word Haggadah means new. Tell me something new. Every year we recite the Haggadah. Haggadah, it's exactly the same 1,820 words it was last year. It's the same exact thing. So what the Teretz says, when you say the Haggadah, the Torah wants you, it should be new. You should find in the Haggadah every year new insights. Chazal, don't say the Haggadah, don't go to the Haggadah this year the way you went to the Haggadah last year. It has to be a new experience. This Vart, instead of, it was the Vart that the Stipler told the Chazon Ish. And the Stipler heard this Vart from the Talmud Chacham from his hometown, and he told this to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish strongly disagreed with his Vart. He wrote many rayas from Chazal. The word Haggadah does not mean something new, but it's still a good Vart. It's still a good Vart. I still like the original Vart. Haggadah kevan shehegit shuv in the chozer magid. It has to be new and fresh. V'hisha amda. Rav Chaim said the ikav v'hisha amda la'avasein v'lanu. What really kept Klal Yisrael going for 2,000 years of galus? He says it's the yud gimel animans. he always would tell people who have trouble with emuna, just work the he sha'amda is meramis on the yud gimel on how it's meramis, I don't know. But what kept Klal Yisrael throughout all the doros is to reinforce your emuna in the yud gimel ani manis. Okay, we're running out of time. In fact, we're out of time. So let me just jump and tell you one last vart, which I found to be very chaviv. I'll tell you two varts. One very short. I don't have any interest in a ha'ara. I really wanted to speak about this on Friday, but I couldn't come up with any good idea. And now it struck me in the face when I saw it again. The Chad Ga'adya, the Shachat Malach HaMavis. Why does the Malach HaMavis deserve Shechita? Shechita is a refined form of death. Death can come through lethal injection, or can come through mechira. Shechita means yamala. You take something and you elevate it to a very high madreka. The kornin, the veshet, the windpipe, and the food pipe. Shechita. Why is the malach hamavis zoiche to a tikkun of shechita? So you'll tell me, we learned in Iyov that Satan was meschavin l'shem shemayim. He wanted to make sure that Avraham should not be a second class citizen. Avraham is greater than Eov. Satan was mischav l'shem shemayim. The male of the Satan deserves shechita, not mechira. It's a very good question. The only reason why it came to my attention is because you have the same exact thing. The question has to be addressed. I don't have an answer. Parashas Metzora, you take the bird v'shochat es hatzipor hachai. The egla arufa. What do we do with the egla arufa? Arufa, decapitation. It's not a carbon. The bird that's being sent, you're killing the bird to extract the blood in order to dip the other bird. Why is it necessary to do a maisa shechita? Why not do a maisa nechira? Why not do a maisa arifa? Why not do a malika? Malika really is equivalent to pretty much zarifa. Malika is the same thing that you do to the animal.
It's a spiritual thing.
So why? A person spoke Lashon Hara. I don't have an answer. But it seems like something very bad. It's very bad. The Satan's whole koyach is the Yetzirah. The Satan, he comes to make accusations, to accuse. He brings lashon. That's the whole essence of the Malach HaMavis, who is the Satan, is lashon hara. He comes before the Pamali Shamala and makes accusations. Mainly, he deserves to be punished. And yet, what does he have? Shechita. The Mitzayra, he brings two living birds. One, the bird chirps. It represents lashon hara. And what do? Shechita. You see, there's something going on over here. It's not mechira, especially when we know that there's birds, you normally do malika. And egla arufa outside the base hamigdash is not a makom of shechita. You're not eating it. It's asa behana. You do arufa. So what's all of a sudden we're doing a ma'isa shechita? What's going on over here? Lashon hara. Satan. He lost a kodesh baruch hu v'shochat l'malach hamavis.
He asked a better question.
Yeah. How could you shech the Malach HaMavis? Okay, that's okay. One last thing. The last thing is the Seder. The Seder is a template for the Kol HaTorah Kula, and for a person to everything that a person needs in life is in the Seder. The Seder is the time of the year where we go. That's why there are so many Haggadahs. A Haggadah is a wonderful opportunity to take a person, a great person, who's larger than life, and be mitzamtzem in a Haggadah his legacy. You see, there's all the Gedolei Yisrael. You're not a Gedolei Yisrael unless they make Haggadah. It's true, there's something to it. Haggadah is a biography, the Minhagim. You can fashtub in the Haggadah. Everything that you want is a place. So my question to you is, where in the Haggadah is the big issue which the whole world is busy with? Shidduchim. Where in the Haggadah do you find the inyan of Shidduchim? So he really says this. Rav Chaim really alludes to this. They have a very nice elaboration. When you bench, part of the Haggadah, the very significant part of the Haggadah is the benching, the Birchas Hamazon. The Birchas Hamazon, the Seder, is not your ordinary Birchas Hamazon. Tzadikim Yoishvim, the Atzer Hasein, Birashayim, there's the Tzadik of the Haggadah, he's there in the benching. The Birchas Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz by the Seder is not the same Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz that you're going to make today when you eat lunch. A different Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. What do you say in Birchas Hamazon? You say, Harachamun Hu Yivarech Es Ishti. One of the most tragic Nichum Adelims that I observed is very frightening. I went to Menachem Avil, an elderly man, an elderly person, and he was sitting there, and they were feeding him. And I was about to leave, and he was benching. And he came there to part of the bench, and his wife died. He was an elderly man, probably close to 90, maybe even older. And his wife died. He was sitting shiva, and then he said, "Rachman hu yivarech es." He was about to say it, "Es ishti," and then he remembered that his wife died, and he started to cry. And he finished benching, and he said, "I can't believe this. My whole life, for 50, 60, whatever years it was, I've been saying Rachman hu yivarech es ishti." And I can't say it anymore. It's so disturbing. It was a very, very powerful thing to witness such a thing. To sit there and base level witness a person going through this thought process. But by the Seder, that's what you say. Harachamon hu yuvarich es ishti. You say it. So Rav Chaim says, why do you say this? In Shemona Esra, you say, Hashem, you should give bracha to my wife. How come all of a sudden, in Birchas HaMazon, you're saying, Harachem v'yivarech es ishti? General question, the whole year round. So he says, the answer is because it says, in the Pasuk, when you give truma, let me find the Pasuk. When you give truma, what do we say? Vereishis arisoy seichem titnu lakoyin. The first of your dough you shall give as truma. Vereishis chala. Vereishis arisoy seichem titnu lakoyin lehoniach beracha el beisecha. So you shall bracha ein bayis ela. Ishtoi. Beisoi zu ishtoi. So the first bread, when you're eating bread, you make Birchas HaMazon, you're reciting Birchas on bread, you have to remember that before you had this bread, you gave the reish sarisoi sechem, you ate the bread properly, you first gave to the kohen, then you said, brocha el beisacha. So that's why you have a right to demand at Birchas HaMazon, there should be brocha for ishti. Take that a step further. What is the night of the Seder? It's the beginning of the year. It's the beginning of Klal Yisrael. It's a Chodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodashim. And what do we do at the Seder? We take the Reishis Arisai Seichem, the whole Lachma Anya, the bread, the matzah, in essence is the Reishis Arisai Seichem. We start fresh. It's a new year. It's a new beginning. And we come to the Seder, the very first thing, whole Lachma Anya. It's the Reishis Arisai Seichem. And what do we do with it? We dedicate it to the Kohen. Who is the ultimate Kohen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kohen. There are numerous Mamari Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Kohen HaGadol, the ultimate Kohen. We dedicate the whole Lachma Anya. And what does Hashem tell us? If you'll take the Reishis Arisai Seichem and you lift it up, Titnu lahakoyin, lohaniach bracha el beisecha, and beisoy ela ishta. You'll be zoicha to bracha, person's wife, mishpacha, shaduchim, zivugim, all of these things.